Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is going to be a game that's won in the second quarter of this game.
Second quarter?
I think Minnesota's going to put it on the Buffalo Bills.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
The Vikings are winning this. That's all you need.
Going to keep it and run with it at the five, headed towards the pylon, dives over the pylon, and he is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen runs it in from 10 yards out.
The guys up front were eating. There's a few plays, some quick passes, and Cousins was getting hit.
Cousins back to throw. Doesn't see the pressure. He is sacked. The ball is out again, and the Bills recover again. Milano on top of it.
I escaped, but I was trusting my feet, trusting my gut. You know, there was a guy who was maybe 3 yards in front of the sticks, and I knew we needed a first down there, and I think we went on to go and score in that drive.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
Allen back to throw. Can he run it and keep it himself to the 40? Jumped over a man at the 45, and he gets the first down.
You like that? You like that? Y'all like that?
Maybe you can just go back.
Go back?
Yeah. Pretend like it never happened.
You mean just walk into the staff meeting on Monday morning like it never happened?
On WGR.
What are you doing here?
What?
Am I crazy? Or didn't you quit?
Oh, what, that? Are you kidding? I didn't quit. Why? You took that seriously.
Sports Radio 550.
You would get that if Vontae Davis reported back to the Bills today. We don't know that he's done that. You might be wondering if you're following along. But it's always great to have the Seinfeld clip. Predictions. So who are the people in the beginning there who are predicting that the Vikings will win, which is pretty much what everyone did?
That is Louis Riddick and Teddy Bruschi on ESPN.
And when you're predicting the outcome of that game, it's just not even interesting. It's like funny. Right? You're laughing about having to do it.
Right. I mean, come on. Really?
They're going to make us pick this game.
How hard is this?
What are we, a couple of chumps? Minnesota or Buffalo? Minnesota. I mean, it's not like I played in the league. I think you played in the league, too. You were an executive in the league. I mean, why are we being asked to predict Minnesota and Buffalo? Of course, Minnesota. Predictions, you know, here's my advice. Only pick long shots. I don't mean for money, but just in general. Because if you're picking a favorite, who cares? Who will remember it? Who will care at all? Oh, I think I like Minnesota in this game by the score of 30-14. And that's not interesting at all. Like what is the benefit of what is the reason for doing that? For like announcing or sharing your pick? Why would you bother? The only pick worth making is the upset. Think of how much mileage the guy who picks... I didn't do it. The upset.
Oh, I did.
Oh, right. This again.
I'm going to try that again. It seems... it works for the president. I'm just gonna, I told you all week the Bills are going to beat the Vikings.
Think about how much mileage that person got out of that result. And money if they bet money. Like we said, right, on Friday, how much scoreboard do you have if you put $100 on the Bills to win the game? It was plus 900. So they give you 1,000 back.
Yeah.
If you gave them 100, they'd give you 1,000 back.
That's a pretty good scoreboard.
And you would be able to brag about it for, you know, what, maybe years. Remember that Viking game?
Maybe you get to brag about it until there is, you know, the next time a 17-point underdog wins a game. Maybe that's how long. So you might have scoreboard for, I don't know, how long was it?
This was 23 years.
Okay, that's
1995.
That's a pretty good, run.
For a generation, you'll be able to brag about it. People may know you as the guy who picked the Bills to beat the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are those people. The problem is those people only ever pick the Bills, no matter who they're playing or what the point spread is or what their record is. They pick the Bills because they love the Bills. Not everybody who loves the Bills does that, but I think people who pick the Bills to beat Minnesota would almost always pick the Bills. They're like the callers who call in a week before the season to tell you they're going to go 12-4 every year. Because here's why. These are the things that will go right for them.
Well, they also are enjoying today.
Either way, hey, right. the I told you they would win guy is out there.
Yep. And they're having a day. And I'm not disparaging that. Hey, you know, go nuts. Sometimes you're going to be right. I never would have thought you were going to be right today, but you are. I mean, that was impressive.
Here's the question I have. Does it change how you feel about the season? How much does it change how you feel about the season? About the team?
Well, maybe a lot.
Really?
I mean, can I get back to you? I think you're capable of that game. Like, yes, the ball rolled your way when it was on the ground, but you made it get on the ground. It's not like Minnesota just gave it to you. Like, you took it out of their hands for those turnovers. That was impressive.
Forcing fumbles is a skill.
Right.
Recovering them is luck.
And they recovered all the fumbles yesterday, even the ones that they dropped, even though one of them really probably wasn't a fumble, but it would have been ruled that way, it seems, anyway. So it's a good thing that they did fall on that, what should have been a pass. Anyway.
Okay, that's so, the one where Allen volleys the ball forward right, as he gets the snap?
Right, that okay. ended up being a fumble.
Okay.
So, anyways, so there was some good fortune there. But if you're capable of playing like that against a team that we think is that good, I don't know. I mean, I'm not ruling out a good performance against Green Bay already sitting here. Like, that's the next game.
Are you ruling out a similarly resounding win?
I might rule out a similarly resounding win, but I'm not.
Why? I'm not trying to trap you.
I don't know.
Why would you do that?
I just don't think most games go that way in the league, so it would surprise me if it went that way for the Bills 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
But to me, if they can play defense like they were playing defense yesterday, then I think you have a chance to be in some games. And next week's game is one of them. And, like, so suddenly 2-2, you know, they go into Minnesota and lose whether they cover or not. But they lose the way most people who don't pick the Bills every week, no matter what the odds say, were expecting them to drop this game. You go in and you win that game. Suddenly, I don't know. Yeah, 2-2 is in the mirror to me. Like it's out there. It's in the windshield, I should say, not the mirror. The mirror's behind you. The windshield's out in front. So
is worst team in the league in the mirror? That's behind you. It is for now.
It's behind me. Yeah.
It has to be for now.
Yeah. Because I don't think the worst team in the league beats Minnesota is not focused or whatever they might have been. I don't think the worst team in the league beats a Super Bowl contender by 21, like just coasting home.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you can get caught up in it. I don't think that's what you're necessarily doing. My, you know, experience, if I may, tells me to not be that way. Like, I want to think that, it's not that I want to, but that I choose to think that it was a fluke, that the fumble luck was important in the outcome of this game, even like how one-sided it was. But I'm really not in the mood to focus on that because, like, let's just see. You have some hope here now.
Mm-hmm.
And really, there's this year and the defense and the things you said, and there's also Allen himself. And that's the big one.
Yep.
I mean, there is a chance that he'll make it.
I don't know why I didn't. I don't think I retweeted it, but NFL.com, I think it was, put out, and they've done this all 3 weeks, I think. Although I only really paid attention to it last week because it was Allen. I didn't really care to watch every throw Peterman made from the opener. But it runs on the WGR550.com homepage, I think, or at the radio.com app. When I open up that app, there's a little player that pops up on my iPad. And last week it was playing every throw Josh Allen made. I didn't see it on our page today, but I came across it on Twitter and I watched it. And what did he have? 7 incompletions. And I mean, there's 2 Benjamin drops. There's a Foster drop kind of on that one long one. There's the Clay pass in the end zone that is right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking that from there, there's an underthrow on a long one to Foster that could have been picked. Like, that was not a good throw. There's a horrible screen pass to, I think, either Ivory or Murphy that was just, it wasn't in danger of being intercepted, but it just had no chance of being completed. And maybe it was even intentional because it was a schmozzle and Allen might have just thrown it like, ah, this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Throwaway. I mean, I think he maybe threw two bad passes.
Right.
All day.
Against them.
Yeah.
On the road.
Now, they didn't throw it like crazy. They only threw it 25 times.
Because they didn't need to.
Right. And
because the Bills hardly ever do that.
Sure. But
maybe,
I mean,
maybe those two things.
I think maybe without, you know, the running game, what did Ivory go? 50 yards on 20 carries? So, like, if they needed offense, if that game ever got to, like, a one-score game, maybe they end up throwing it 35 times. And, I mean, I don't know, on 25 throws, he threw maybe two bad passes. Like, and that is not even the throws, even the, like, the simple throws are all right in stride. Like, I mean, he was just super sharp. Kind of like, you know, I was thinking of a lot of the conversations I had over the summer, that we had over the summer with Sal. Like, what are you really looking for out of this guy? And I wanted to see the ordinary play. Give me consistency on the ordinary play because that's the league. You're going to have to complete a lot of seven-yard passes if you're going to be productive in the NFL. It's that you're not going to get your chance to throw it over the mountains all the time. And, I mean, he was money on those throws. He threw like two bad passes in an NFL game against Minnesota.
In his second NFL start
I mean, that's
at Minnesota.
Super encouraging.
Yes.
I was, unlike like last week, the game ended like, I was all right with him. Basically, that was how you felt after the Charger game.
Thank you for that voice.
Right, and I felt good about him yesterday. I felt even better when I watched every throw back because of what I just said. I mean, I think he threw two bad passes. That's pretty good. That's really good. So that's very encouraging.
There's a chance. There always was. I mean, It's not decided. There always was a chance. You know, that's the whole thing about drafting a quarterback like this. Surrounding talent means a lot. Coaching scheme means a lot. Supporting, you know, support as players and coaches and more within the organization. Like, all that stuff's important. There always was a chance he would make it. When will you know? It's not today. It's not after two games or three games. Like, it's not time to announce it. It wasn't time on Darnold after their win in Detroit. It isn't time on Mayfield today. It isn't time on Allen today. But it's cool. Like, it's with the way I remember it, and just to make this a simple observation, other recent, you know, relatively recent Bills quarterback hopefuls, I think pretty much every time, maybe not Edwards so much, but he's a little bit of a different case. He was not a first-round pick. He was never like, this is really important. Let's just stare at Trent Edwards. That was, you know, after he replaced Lossman. But these other guys, pretty early, I thought there were bad signs. Whether that was accuracy or decision-making, hanging in the pocket, like different things. And the conversation generally was, what do you think? And I might have said, well, I'm a little worried about this. And, you know, not that this is always what happened, but fans would be like, guys, he's so young.
Give it time.
Right. Whether that's EJ Manuel or JP Lossman. I don't think, I mean, Taylor was different too. Just, you know, guys, he's like, you just make that excuse.
Mm-hmm.
He's so young. What you realize if you look back at that, like, more, this is as good a point for EJ as anyone else. What you realize is it really isn't that much time that you get as the player to show that you can do it. The coach is going to get fired if you can't do it, and they'll replace you. New people will come in, and they'll need new hope, and that'll be a new guy. That'll be a new quarterback. So you get, you know what? We've talked about that a lot because it started this way. We might have anyway. Like, you get a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
He probably gets at least 2 years. Manuel got 20 games, and he didn't even start all of them. He was hurt in the middle of his rookie year.
10 games and 4 games, I think that's it.
Okay, right, with the same coach, and they were done. So you just that's the number, 14 starts.
Yeah.
Like, that's an important number. So I just don't – like, they're really – with Allen, the results speak for themselves in this area. Like, they're really just not that yet. There's not a, well, I'm worried about this. Like, you had last week some analysts who spent a lot of time scrutinizing him as a prospect speak up and point out, you know, the flaws. And we talked to one of those guys, John Ledyard, mm-hmm. last week. Like, what are the flaws here? And he went through them, and it was detailed, and I thought it was, respectable. But generally, these two games, I don't sort of walk away, and this goes without saying about yesterday, feeling like, well, we got to correct these things. I feel great about how he looks. Mm-hmm. Fans can really get into this, and, you know, they already are. But you can really get into this. Like, this might be it. You know, he might be it. The passing point you're making, then you have his runs.
Right.
Like, he ran for two touchdowns. He jumped over a guy besides. And those were huge plays in the game.
Yeah.
And also the kind of plays, especially the hurdle, that fans are going to rally around. Like, wow, did you see that?
Fans and I think players.
Yes, maybe.
I mean, I think players will rally around that. Like, it's always right to me to say that anyone who wants to be a cheerleader guy, emotional center of the team, better be able to perform. And I think you even made that point directly about Allen when the subject of him getting after the defense last week came up. You better be able to perform, otherwise you're going to get eye-rolled right out of the room. And I think, you know, the performance, making a play like that, the touchdown run, the dive, I mean, that's a super play. He's like 5 yards out. He dives. It's the cone. I mean, it's a super athletic, impressive play.
It's athletic, and if I may, isn't that also big for a quarterback to know when to go?
Uh-huh.
You know, and they're going to want him to work on certain things here as well as he goes. And, you know, yards are yards, so that his instincts have been successful, have worked out for him so far.
I think so. But the hurdling a guy, like, it just, there's no way I wouldn't want to balk at anyone who wants to say, like, and we'll talk to Kyle Williams about it, whether or not do you even know what's happening when you're on the sidelines. Maybe you don't even see the guy hurdle the guy. But I think that resonates with players. When you see someone do something that desperate and athletic, like that's a great combination. And I do like very much that he is willing to be vocal and exuberant and all that stuff. Not so much because I want to overrate the actual acts of doing those things, but I think it speaks to a confidence that he has that I think is important. That he is not sort of shrinking in the back like, well, I just got here and I don't really know. You know, he's playing. And I think that's important.
Do you like, I think I do like that now it's Green Bay. Like, it's almost the same test. You know? I mean, obviously, the two teams are different, but it's almost the same test. You're going back on the road. You're going back to the Midwest. You're going back to the NFC. You're going back to a team that is, again, a double-digit underdog. It's not 17, but it's 10.
Right.
So I don't know if that surprises anybody that Green Bay loses to Washington, hasn't looked especially good, and is a 10-point favorite against the Bills next week. Like, you have almost the same test here, in a sense, not like, I don't know, whatever happens, but maybe the Tennessee game first at home or something. Hey, tied for second.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely similar in, like, class of team. I think you get into, like, the particulars about the teams, and I'm nowhere near as intimidated about playing against Green Bay's defense. But we'll see. Like, maybe that's, you know, that's football. Like, maybe Clay Matthews ends up in the backfield all day long and doesn't get penalized every time he touches a quarterback. And I regret that. But Minnesota has a certain reputation, and that reputation is well earned on that side of the ball. Green Bay is sort of, you can probably get your points, but Aaron Rodgers is going to outscore you.
Hey, Washington, Adrian Peterson ran. They were gashing Green Bay in that game. So yes, it's definitely a different opponent. But right, like, quality-wise, it's closer. The whole week is going to be, can they do it again?
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole week. That's us. That's National, isn't that everybody? Like, can they actually do that again?
Right. And I mean, and that's the most I think you can get from this win. For me anyway, that's what it gives you. You know, like to me, the league is like this. I make this point all the time. Like every week just buys you another week. You know, you win, okay. Well, you won, okay. Now let's see what you can do against this team. And, you know, before I start thinking about this being like maybe as significant as like some other, like some season turning win, it really just buys you a week of, oh, okay, well, I don't have to dread this game coming up now. I can sit with this game and go, okay, well, let's see what we get at 1 o'clock when they play Green Bay instead of, oh my God, I'm 0-3 and, ooh.
Right. College players.
Right. It's just totally, it that way it sort of flips the script somewhat on, you know, the focus is on what the Bills are going to do instead of, like, right now, instead of what the future is going to hold and, you know, these free agent signings that weren't working out and, like, whatever. It just changes everything. So, I think that the way they played on defense to start that game is the thing that I'm taking. Of course, Allen. But as far as like the season goes, like thinking about what kind of season could they have? Like Allen's going to do what Allen's going to do, and almost like I can almost separate that from their team results. But if they can play defense like that and rush the passer like that, then they shouldn't be losing by 25 points.
Yeah, that also, I mean, that is still out there. What Minnesota is good, I guess, but they have the problem with Minnesota, people have said, is up front.
Right.
And yesterday, Jerry Hughes, to name like the leader of this, I think, just looked dominant. They were dominant against Cousins. They got the ball out. So they had a lead, then padded it. And from there on, it's just like you're in a state of shock. Hey, it's cool. It's historic. 17-point underdogs rarely win and never dominate. You just do not have this game you don't have this game on Pro Football Reference. You don't have it. There are a handful of, there's a game or whatever, a game or two every year where the spread is that big to begin with. Rarely are they this early in the year. It's been 23 years since a 17-point favorite won.
Underdog.
17-point underdog, thank you. Probably hasn't been.
No.
17 years since a, you know, 23 years since a 17-point underdog won outright. And even then, you do not get a beatdown.
Right.
And this was a beatdown. They almost got shut out at home, which would have been the first time that had happened in Minnesota since 1962. To a team or by a team that was a 17-point underdog in their stadium. That just, there is not this game on that site. They kept point spread since 1978. Otherwise, it might go back all the way. I don't know. Like, you just do not have this in the NFL. And it really happened. And everybody is saying this one thing. Before we get to our first break here and then your calls, everybody is saying this one thing. Matt, a coworker of ours, just said this. He said, "Hey, Mike, yeah, I was outside. And my kids are like, Dad, it's 24-0. Bills." He's like, "No way.
Right.
It's 24-0 Vikings." He's like, "No, you've got to come see."
Yeah.
Like, everybody who was just maybe like the game was at arm's length is telling you that story, that someone alerted them to the fact that the game was 17-0 or 24-0. And like, no, that's you have it backwards.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right. Yeah. I told you yesterday, I was watching UB on Saturday afternoon with Owen. And Leo, Owen's little brother, doesn't pay any attention to sports. Like, still, I don't think really has put together the Bills play on Sundays. Like, that's how little attention he plays, right? Pays. Or that I work, even. Like, he'll just, on Sundays, "Oh, you got to work? Oh, okay." And so he walks in the room and looks at the score on the screen. It's UB 28-6 over Rutgers. He goes, "Oh, this is going well." And I said, "This is college." And he goes, "Oh." And I said, "The Bills won't be beating anybody 28-6 all year." That's what I said to him Saturday afternoon.
Technically, that isn't wrong yet.
Right, I know. But
this was 27-6.
Right, 27-0.
So technically, you're okay. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with your calls next. Sean McDermott and Kyle Williams next hour. This is WGR.
To get down there and to come away with three or zero in that case, it would not be a good thing. It would be that close, so I'm thankful they trust me to go get 1 yard. But our line did a great job on that play, and you know they did a great job the whole game. You know, a lot of credit to our guys. I'm proud as heck of them because that's a tough defense we just played.
Josh Allen. How about all the rookies so far? I guess Lamar Jackson has not played much quarterback. And he's at the bottom of the first round anyway, so include him or don't. Mayfield is now the Browns' number one. That was announced today, made official. It was obvious it was going to happen.
Tremendous half on Thursday night last week.
And a huge improvement over what they were getting right from Taylor. Allen is at least as big of an improvement, and he's entrenched now. I mean, you can, unless he gets hurt, that bet, you can pay that bet for number of games started. He's going to be the quarterback of the team for a long time, hopefully.
The bet, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Rosen. Well, I should have mentioned Darnold. Darnold started week one. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
And then you have Rosen, who is now, like yesterday, I don't know.
Played 4 minutes.
That was bad. Like, they were up through most of that game, Arizona. They fall behind late and then put Rosen in against a good defense there. Game on the line.
Right.
The week before, they were getting blown out. He didn't play.
Right.
Now, they put him in to go win the game, kid. And he didn't. He had a first down or two, maybe one. And then they lost.
He turned it over a couple times, I think, too, didn't he?
Was it two?
I think both. Two drives, I think. I think he threw two picks.
So I don't know if he stays in. I haven't seen that yet.
But Bradford had turned it over twice. That's how the Bears even got back in the game that Arizona pretty much had in control. So they yanked him and Rosen went in.
What it looks like is all the rookies should be on the field, you know, except maybe Jackson.
Right.
And even that, like, you don't know. And that's 3 weeks. Within 3 weeks, all the Cleveland efforts to downplay this idea, whatever Arizona was, maybe they're there too. The Jets just went with it. The Jets, like, they traded Teddy Bridgewater away, just went with it. And here, you know, this story is really, like, he went in out of desperation and was clearly their best option. So here we are.
Right. And definitely, it all hasn't been great. Yesterday, I think, was fantastic. He threw the ball 25 times, and I'm telling you, I watched every one again today, and I think he made two bad passes. That's a great job. It hasn't all been that, but what it all has been, and maybe this has gradually improved from being thrown in the third quarter of a game they were getting their faces caved in the opener, to starting week two at home against the Chargers, to now, starting on the road in Minnesota, it's not looked too big for him. You know, I think the worst is certainly behind him. Maybe he wasn't expecting to have to go in against Baltimore. I don't know, but that was a tough day. It was a tough spot, and he looked the least prepared he's been. But with a week to get ready, I think he was all right, like passable last week. And he was excellent yesterday. And that's great news. I mean, it's definitely trending the right direction. You'd love to know. We'll get this chance. I'm sure there's a lot more football to be played. And when he gets to start seven, I'll give you your money. But he will, although the spirit of the bet, really, like, their intention is for him to play. Like, so you really, I think, in a certain way, you could argue, have won the bet. But anyway, if the game had gotten close at all, it would have been really cool to see him have to, like, keep going.
One of these games probably will be
right,
close.
That's what I mean. We'll get that chance, so I don't need to be starving for it yesterday. But he was, to me, it would have been cool if he could have just kept going because he was really accurate. He was on, I guess. And would have been kind of neat if he had just had to keep playing that way, you know, like never really stop. So, I don't know. What am I saying? I wish it had gotten to, like,
it'll come,
you know, 24-14 or something, and then, like, you got a game going here. But he was fantastic yesterday.
Amazingly, it didn't.
Right.
Like, this would be an infuriating result for Minnesota. Like, The running back carried the ball two times. He went 2 for 1 on rushes. Murray. I live in a fantasy world, so to speak. It's really not that fantastic. Nobody brings me drinks.
Right.
There's no, well, whatever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. In the fantasy world, everybody seemed to love Latavius Murray yesterday. Like, well, Dalvin Cook is out. That's fine. Here's Murray. He's capable. He's a proven runner. And they're playing the Bills. So load up on Latavius Murray if you do FanDuel or DraftKings. I mean, I was on a DraftKings, or rather a FanDuel tournament, and out of 300-some people, he was 46% owned. Like, almost half the people in the field had Latavius Murray on their roster. He would be cheaper because he's not, you know, a bell cow running back.
I went looking for him in our league on Friday or Thursday thinking, like, I would do that. I'm desperate, and somebody had him. I would have picked him up and started him.
So you're Minnesota. Like, how do we talk? Two rushes? Two? Right. Not like nine?
Right.
You know, nine. So it's 24-0 pretty early. Like, nine rushes for 12 yards. Like, okay, you call us. Why did they abandon the run? I go, well, it didn't work. Can you really say that after two rushes?
Right. It didn't work, and we were way behind.
2 for 1?
Right.
That's not a rushing line. That's a sale. I mean, 2 for 1? What kind of stats are those? So the second half was a joke, and at no time did the Vikings go, let's run our stuff. No. Cousins completed 40 passes. Completed
right.
40 passes in a 6-point effort. Just what an incredible game. So unusual and surprising.
Right. 200 yards of his 296 was fourth quarter.
I mean, you got to hate losing to that in fantasy.
Yeah.
And Thielen.
Right.
Right. Like, Thielen got to what?
14 catches.
Was it 14 catches?
I think so, yeah.
Just like all of it was meaningless.
Right.
All of it was meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Even their touchdown, like, I, you know, they tried an onside kick. They tried a 2-point conversion. Like, they were, but they, it's not like they were rushing to the line on that touchdown drive. It
no.
was just like, all right, we're just going to get some points. we're, all right, fine. Well, good. We're not getting shut out anymore.
What if it had gotten to fourth down? Like, the coach who kicks a field goal there is mocked, but I think I would have done it just to keep that streak going. Because, look, it's so late in the game. We're not going to win anyway.
Right.
So I can just have the 3 points and, you know, we can not get shut out here. But, you know, we didn't have that happen. They got the touchdown. All of us who picked up Minnesota's kicker in fantasy because they were supposed to win so easily got bageled. Thanks a lot. It's not like it didn't happen to me 6 times yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 6. Joel is with us. Hello, Joel.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hi.
Hey, kudos to the defensive line and Chris Ivory. No question. You know, it was the defensive line performance was one of the best I've seen in years. Unbelievable. But you asked a question at the opening of the show about did it change your mind. My wife's out of town. I called her up. We've been planning on going out to the New England game for Monday night. Called her up after that. I said, honey, we're going. That changed my mind. I cannot wait to get out there and watch us beat New England.
Well, a little bit of this is maybe how New England looks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But
You can imagine the Bills beating them, which would have been tougher, like,
oh, yeah.
2 days ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. After the game and a half we just watched, you know, the opener and then, you know, the first half against San Diego. But I don't know. I don't know how these guys have turned it around, but I am very impressed. Very impressed.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. I mean, how did they turn it around? We'll talk to Kyle Williams and Sean McDermott, either of whom may give you a clue into that or may not. I mean, there is already like sort of the requisite kind of analysis done. But I don't know, like it's the NFL too. It doesn't count as a turnaround yet to me. I mean, it was obviously better, that's to say nothing, than what the first half against LA was and what the Baltimore game was. Obviously better. But have they like improved in a substantive, important way, which is possible, or did they get off on the right day? I mean, they had nothing to lose. They played against a team that threw on every play and can't block anybody. You know, it's right. Weird to think, and I don't want to slight the effort at all. It's weird to think that after being a 17-point favorite, you could have like a fundamental problem, but it might be the case here.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, the season will continue, and we'll see if the Bills are different or if they just had one amazing day.
Right. It seemed like Hughes, I don't want to overdo it because he had one sack, but it looked like one of those days where he just could do whatever he wanted. He was getting there a lot. And altering, rushing, whatever it was, like he just was a menace. So that was big trouble for Minnesota all day long. And it's hard to really think that you wouldn't have trouble, therefore, against other teams, because Jerry Hughes is he's a good pass rusher. Guess what? Like, most teams that are really good in the NFL have got a guy. They usually play right defensive end, and they come around the end. Like, that's their gig, man. So, good luck. I mean, the Vikings got to play. There's a guy in the division. He plays usually on the other side, Khalil Mack, but they can move him wherever they want. I mean.
Yeah, they have to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's going to be a problem.
New England. Here's what I would say. Like, so you're talking to your buddies about New England. Like I said before, go ahead and predict their demise. If they bounce back, everybody laughs, like, oh, we were wrong. And if you're somebody who said, like, no, they're actually terrible now. Their run is over. They will go 7-9, and Brady will retire, and Belichick will retire. It's ending before our eyes. If you predict that, you're watching these games, and everybody's telling you, don't do that. It's very scary and risky to do that. You know, those people will never be remembered. They mean nothing in this equation. You could be the one who says, they're done. Here, right now, I will say it. They're done. I won't tweet it, because then you'll show it back to me.
I might tweet it.
I will just say it. Nobody plays tape of this show back to me. Tweets. I mean, there's whole accounts dedicated to making you, trying to embarrass you for a sports opinion you had, even when your job is to have sports opinions. They're done. Look how slow and old they looked. Detroit, give me a break. So, yeah, don't be, I don't know, guys. They always bounce back. I'm not going to predict it. No, who cares then? What are you here for? I mean, you're just like a pet. You're like your dog who has no opinion about anything. You're just like, oh, I just, maybe.
One of these times when they look shot, they're really going to be shot.
Right.
And they look pretty shot.
Exactly. They look shot. They are old. They have very few good players on the field. They will get a couple more in time here.
Right.
But still. Go ahead. I mean, that's what I say. Predict it. Then you can be remembered for something brave. Not just one of these guys who, you know, nothing to say. Yeah, Brady, you got it. You can't count him out. You should count him out. What do you got to lose? Count him out. It's more fun anyway. Sean McDermott coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You know, after, you know, Rory's tapping out, and all of a sudden it started hitting me that I was going to win the tournament. And, you know, my I started tearing up a little bit, and the reason why I knelt down behind the ball, I said, you know, I got to get back to work here. Come on, just, you know, finish this off. And I just can't believe I pulled this off after, you know, what the season's gone through.
Tiger Woods is pretty cool. He won. Looks great. I mean, he's had a great, what, month, 2 months? Looks great. I like, we don't have much time for this now, but I like watching Joe. Joe's into Tiger, our producer. Joe's 23. And it's cool. Like, Tiger could be his dad's guy to a guy like Joe. You know, like, he doesn't have to be the cool one, but you're into him, right?
Yeah, very. He's the reason I liked golf growing up. He's the reason me and my dad got into golf and started golfing.
Okay, so, right. Like, you'd remember watching him in your youngest days, like he was dominating 20 years ago. Okay, right. So, yeah, we liked having that on yesterday. Here is Paul with us. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. You were just talking about people that have the stones to make bets on the Patriots being bad. I actually went one further. I have a bet going at work that I think Tom Brady's going to have a personal worst this year. Not for the league or the conference or even the Patriots, but for him, I think he's going to actually throw an interception a game for 7 of the next 9. He's going to finish with the worst interceptions he's had in forever.
What is the number?
I said total, I think, this year. He's going to throw about 11 interceptions. But specifically for the bet, it was of the next 9 games, he's going to throw, this was the beginning of the season, I said, he's going to throw an interception a game.
How did you come up with a bet of 9 games?
He said, basically my friend is always doing these bets for just before the end of the season. I was like, and he's a huge Patriots fan, so he has bets going that the Patriots are going to be good. And I'm like, no, I bet you Brady's going to suck this year. Because when this falls apart, it's going to be ugly. And he said, you think Brady's going to be ugly? How much you willing to bet? And I said, I'm willing to bet for the first 9 games. Because he always does half of the season, and I wanted to go over that. That's how.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, he's going to have 9 interceptions.
In 9 games.
Right.
How many does he have?
What has he got? 2 now so far? One a game?
Two through three games.
They've played 3 games.
Two through three games.
Yeah. Oh, he's had 2. Yeah. So.
Okay. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. I hope you win your bet. That'd be cool.
I hope they win it here. The 8th game is against New England.
Right.
They could, nice for you to Paul get that, could, you could see him clinch it.
Get that safely parked in the garage before game 9. All right. Sure. Right.
So, the Patriots game, right? I told Joe this. We do our picks. They're meaningless. I struggle to keep track of mine. I write them down and then kind of throw it to the side and have to look for it. So yesterday morning, I went to the site I've used for my baseball bets to see if there was line movement.
Okay.
Because I wanted to know if the Bills line was still 16.5 and what else was going on. Maybe there was a good idea, a fantasy thing that you could uncover if you see a total move or something. And I went to look at that and I logged in and I saw that the site had paid me for all my Brave stuff, which I was not expecting to have happen yet. The over on wins, right, and making the playoffs.
Stuff that might wait until the end of the season.
Yes, I expected that.
Right.
They clinched the playoff spot Saturday. It was in my account yesterday. Wow, great.
Right.
And then my mind went,
No rollover?
Well, right, that's collecting the money. We'll see. But my mind went to, maybe I'll just put some money down on these games.
Right.
So I bet a 5-team parlay that won. And I did not think about it once all day. I got home. I sat down. I had the page open on my computer when I got home, 9 o'clock or something. I opened my computer Oh, look. This thing is live with Detroit.
Oh, wow. All right.
I had Detroit plus 6.5, and I had won the other 4 games. One of them was the over on the Giants-Texans game. I don't even know really why I picked that. It just sort of something to do that I forgot about. Didn't even enjoy it.
Right.
I had the over on the Giants-Texans game, and Joe pointed this out yesterday to us in here, that the Texans scored a touchdown on the last play to put that game over.
Really?
He knew it because he saw Lamar Miller score. He's like, ugh, that's bad for me. Watson and Miller. Watson ended up with a good fantasy day.
Yeah.
And, I didn't think about it at all. That touchdown kept that parlay alive, and then the Lions won it for me.
The Lions closed it out for you. All
so, right. Yeah. Yep. It's 27-1 odds.
Sweet.
Pretty good.
Well, that is, yeah. So you bet against the Patriots yesterday.
Yes.
There was no 9-game bet. But you had them, yeah, good.
That's right. I don't know. They need help. Or they don't. Or they're just going to be amazing next week. They have the Dolphins at home next week.
I don't know, man. I know we were just sort of half goofing there. They really are going to be shot one of these times when they look shot. And I don't remember. It just seems, maybe it's just, you know how old the guy is. There's just some really crappy looking throws.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it like that last year when Kansas City stomped him?
Or whatever year that was.
Yeah, what? It feels, I don't know.
You can see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Edelman will come back.
Right. 2 weeks, right.
That's something.
Maybe Gordon this week.
Right. But, man, they look messed up.
There it is. Bulldog.
He looks Well, he looks like a 41-year-old guy trying to play quarterback.
Wow. What a statement, Joe. I said Joe. Joe's got the Aikman experience under his belt now. Joe, why don't you just tweet, who's the better quarterback right now, Josh Allen or Tom Brady? I'm too big of a wimp to do it. I don't want all the crap. Like you do it. And Joe says, like, I'm not really back up to full strength yet from the last time. So anybody wants to do that, it's yours. There you go. Sean McDermott in his press conference, then we'll talk to him and Kyle Williams. Coming up, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.